If you are a dentist who is not making as much money as you would like to make, likely working as an associate, or if you are in dental school and you're looking for a game plan in order to get to the point where you're making at least $500,000 to $600,000 a year, then today I'm speaking to you. I'm going to show you how to go from making $200,000 to $300,000 a year as a dentist to making $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000+ per year. My name is Chris. I'm a dentist and I help dentists buy dental practices. I've helped 50 plus dentists in the past year, and many of them are well on their way to making $800,000+ this year. Step number one is to find the busiest associate job you can find. If you're currently working an associate job where you're not busy, you need to leave that job today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Today, you need to get out of there and find a job where you're going to be busy. I cannot overstate how important this is. You spent all of this time and energy going to dental school. Why are you going to waste it sitting around at an office that is not busy? When you're at the office, you want to be working, you want to be producing, you want to be making money. That is the reason that you became a dentist. And then when you're not working, you want to get out of there. You want to get out of the office. You want to go and do other things other than just being a dentist all the time. But this is especially important your first few years out of school. If you are a new grad and you're at an office where you're not busy, you are wasting your time, you're wasting your potential, and you're not setting yourself up for future success. If you are not busy, leave your job and go find another place where you can actually produce. Now, there are three big reasons that you need to make sure that you're busy at your first or second initial associate jobs. Number one, you need the practice. You need to get your speed up. In dental school, you are seeing probably 1, 2, maybe 3 patients a day. As an actual dentist, you need to be able to see 40, 50 patients a day and be producing on every single patient and still have time to think and relax in between patients. You need to get so much faster than you are right now. And the only way you're going to do that is by finding an associate job where you're busy. Number two, you're going to make a lot more money if you're at a job where you're working, especially if you're being paid on production, which most dentists are. If you produce more, you're going to be able to make more money. So why would you work at a job where you're not busy? Find a job where you're busy. And number three, and this is the one that a lot of people don't even think about, when you are ready to become the owner of a practice, which basically every dentist should become a practice owner, and you decide it's time to buy a practice, the banks, in order to give you a loan to buy that practice, are going to ask you to print off your production reports. And if you don't have production reports that show that you're able to produce the kind of numbers of the practice that you want to buy, then you're going to have a much harder time getting a loan. Now, what if you are still in dental school? Maybe you're a new grad, you just graduated, or you're about to graduate. How do you find a job where you're going to be busy? First off, I get emails from people all the time. They're still in dental school, they're D4 year, sometimes even D3 year, and they're already looking for jobs. It's such a waste of time. Stop it. Stop looking for jobs when you're in dental school. You're wasting your time. The type of job that you want is a job where there was a dentist working there. That dentist is either about to leave or has already left. You're going to come in and you're going to replace that dentist so that you have a full schedule of patients. If, on the other hand, you go into an office where there's already a dentist there, and previously there was only one dentist at this office and you're going to be dentist number two, or maybe there were two and you're going to be number three, what's going to happen is you're going to go in and there's not going to be any patients on your schedule. Or maybe there are some patients on your schedule, but the way that those patients got there is they took them off of the schedule of the other dentist. So either way, you're going to be upset because your schedule's empty, or the existing dentist that's there is going to be upset because you're taking away his or her patients. If you're applying for a job months and months before you're going to be able to start working, the office is going to have no idea if there's going to be a vacancy at the clinic. So what they're going to do, the kind of jobs that are hiring people 6 months before they have their license, they're the type of jobs where the owner is saying, well, maybe if I bring this new dentist in, this new dentist will be gullible enough to sit around and not be busy and just wait until new patients come in. We'll fill the new patients up and then we can grow the practice. The owner of the practice's goal is to increase the total revenue in the office. And their idea is, well, we'll get a new dentist in, and the new dentist is going to see new patients, and it's going to now, instead of being a one doctor office, we're going to be a two doctor office. Or instead of being a two doctor office, we're going to be a three doctor office. And so they're using you to try to build their own equity in the business at your expense. You're the one who's going to be sitting around, not busy, waiting for new patients to come in, lots of cancellations, Lots of patients that are just there for their free $5 Aspen special, and you are not going to be making money. You're going to not have reports that you can show to banks that you're able to produce. You're wasting your time. If you're looking for a job, which you should get a job when you get out of school, it's unlikely that you're going to become a practice owner day one after graduating from school. Some people have done it. I've actually worked with a client that did it, and it's possible, but I don't recommend it. I recommend you work for at least a year or two and then buy a practice. So yeah, you need an associate job. You're definitely going to want to work as an associate. So make sure that you're working a good associate job. Make sure that you're busy. Make sure that you negotiate your terms. And so that's what I want to talk about next. What type of terms you need to make sure that you have in place when you accept an associate job? The most important aspect of the contract that you sign when you take this first associate job is not the pay. Do I care about pay? Absolutely. You want to be making as much money as you possibly can. Obviously, this is a job. But there's something that's actually more important than pay that a lot of dentists just kind of gloss over and don't even think about: protecting your flexibility. If you go and work as an owner, you're going to be making twice as much for every patient you see. So why are you taking this huge pay cut if you're going to sign some sort of contract that's going to lock you in a way that restricts your flexibility? There are two main ways that contracts can restrict your flexibility as a dentist. Number one is the timing, and number two is a non-compete agreement. Do not sign any type of contract that is going to commit you to working any place for a certain amount of time. You don't know if you're going to enjoy working at this office. You don't know if you're going to be busy. You don't know if the owner of that office is going to adequately supply you with enough assistance in order to be a high producer. You don't know if the owner of that office is going to adequately supply you with hygienists or front desk workers or even dental supplies. Everything. You don't know. So don't sign on that you agree to be somewhere for a year or 2 years when you don't have control over that place. I've talked to some dentists and have even had some clients who they were about to buy a dental practice, a really, really good dental practice, but then they looked at their associate contracts that they had signed and they had agreed to stay at that location for a certain amount of time and they weren't able to get out of it. You do not have to agree to work for some place a year or 2 years in order to work there. I'm telling you, the employer might want you to sign it. Sure, they would love to have you sign some sort of contract that you agree and sell the next year of your life to them. They would love that. They would love to have the confidence that you're going to be there. Sure. But if you sign that, you're getting taken advantage of. If you sign that, you are agreeing to something that you do not have to agree to. Now, are you going to have to give some sort of notice when you leave? Yes. But you don't have to give a year notice. You don't have to give a 90-day notice. You don't even have to give a 60-day notice. I would only sign 30 days. 30 days is enough notice to where they can find another dentist to come into the office. And even if they don't, that's none of your business. You're an associate. You have flexibility. You have the control here. If you want to be locked into something, well, then become an owner because you're getting paid a lot more when you're an owner, but you are locked in. As an associate, you are not locked in. Do not lock yourself into an associate job. It's a waste of your time. Don't do it. If they hand you a contract and they say, we want 90-day notice, don't sign it. Cross it out and write 30 days and send it back and say, I'll sign it if it's 30 days. And if they say, well, we require 90 days, then go find another job. You do not want to be stuck at an office working somewhere that you don't want to work. The moment that you don't want to work somewhere, you want to have the flexibility to leave for whatever reason. Life happens. What if an amazing practice to buy comes along and you can't buy it because you're locked into an associate contract? All right, so step number three is you need to become an owner. You need to become the owner of a business as fast as possible. You want leverage. When you're working as an associate, you are giving away half of your income to someone else. You could see 1,000 patients a year and make $200,000 as an associate, or you could see 1,000 patients a year and make $400,000 as an owner. You could see 2,000 patients as an associate and make $400,000 a year, or you could see the same 2,000 patients as an owner and make $800,000 a year. You're doing the same amount of work. You're seeing the same number of patients. You're doing the same number of crowns, the same number of fillings, the same number of exams, but you're making twice as much. Now, on the other hand, let's say you're making $300,000 at your associate job, and you say, hey, that's all the money I need. I don't need any more than that. I'm good. $300,000 is a lot of money. You can live a very good life off of $300,000 a year. Well, guess what? If you want to have time to do things other than just dentistry, you should become an owner and then you can work half as much and still make $300,000 a year. As an associate, If you decide you want to work less, you're probably still going to have to sit around the office. As an owner, if you decide you want to work less, well, then you can just change your schedule. You say, I don't want to work Wednesdays. You don't have to work Wednesdays. As an associate, if you go tell your boss, hey, I don't want to work Wednesdays, most likely they're going to laugh and say, well, sorry, you have to. All right, so step number four, you've decided you want to be an owner, but do you want to do a startup or do you want to buy an existing practice? When I first graduated from school, I thought I wanted to do a startup. Honestly, I didn't really understand that you could buy a practice. Like I'd heard about it, but I didn't really know the advantages. I was like, I'll just do a startup so I can get new chairs. If you do a startup, you are likely going to go years and years before you become profitable. There's a high probability that you're going to have to stay working at your associate job, even though you're the owner of a business, because that business is not making enough money to cover your expenses. Oftentimes, you're going to have to do your own hygiene for years before you have enough patients and enough income to justify hiring a hygienist. So basically, you're going to be taking a pay cut at your associate job because you're going to be working there half as much. And then you're going to go to another office where you have to pay the employees and you're working as a hygienist. Wow, startups sound great. Don't you want to do a startup? On the other hand, if you buy a practice, if you buy the right practice, it is not uncommon to make $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 your first year. If you come into an office that has enough patients and you are adequately prepared in order to do the production that is necessary, you can make $800,000 your first year of ownership. It is extremely unlikely that you're going to make $800,000 your first year of a startup. Chances are you're going to make nothing, maybe even lose money your first year with a startup. And even worse than that, you can get caught into what I like to think of as the death spiral of startups, where maybe you're making $70,000, $80,000 a year. You don't have enough money to expand and hire new employees. You don't have enough money to really do marketing. You're just making enough to get by and you're not successful and you don't have money to grow the office. And it's tricky because you'd almost rather just go out of business than be trapped in this startup death spiral where you're making $70,000 a year, you're working super hard, and you don't know what to do. Just find a dentist with a lot of active patients who's slowed down, who's not doing any specialty procedures. By that practice, you come in, you grow production, you double the size of it, you're making $600,000, $700,000 your first year. Don't make this harder than it needs to be. Just buy a practice, buy the right practice, and you're going to do amazing. Now, I always get people commenting and sending me emails and saying, well, I looked on Google, and Google told me that owners, dental practice owners, only make about $100,000 more than associates. How come you keep saying that owners can make $800,000 a year? First off, I'm telling you because I've been an owner, I've done it, and I also have a lot of friends who are owners, and I know that they're doing it as well. It's extremely easy in comparison to almost any other career to have $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 a year income as an owner. As an associate, I've heard of like one or two associates that are making that much. It's almost impossible. And the ones who are like going to have to work like crazy. Like they're working weekends and no. So there's a couple reasons why the data that you're going to find online is not accurate. I mean, maybe it's accurate, but it's not useful. It's not helpful. A lot of dentists are making enough money that they are not trying to work harder and make any more. There are a huge number of dentists who they're not taking new patients. They're not opening up additional columns in their schedule. They're not hiring a second hygienist, even though they clearly have enough demand to where they could, but they don't want to have to do two hygiene checks every hour. One's plenty for them. Most dentists' income is limited by their desire to work more, not limited by their ability to earn more. And so, yeah, if you look at some ADA statistic of how much dentists are making, that number's going to be on the lower end. Also keep in mind the kind of people who have the time to sit around and fill out these forms are probably old dentists who aren't seeing patients anyway, so they're going to be underreporting. And then number three, when you're an owner, there are so many things you can do with your taxes to reduce your taxable income that the income number that the IRS sees and that might be reported to some of these statistics companies are often going to be a lot lower than the actual value that dentist is receiving. Maybe they're paying for their health insurance. Maybe they're paying for a car. Maybe they have their cell phone being run through the business. Their computers are being bought through the business. There's things you can do with depreciation and amortization. There's tax loophole things that can be taken advantage of. There's retirement accounts you can put money into that's tax deferred, 401k, IRAs that the business is paying so that it's not actually counted as income. The thing is, if you want to make good money as a dentist and you are an owner and you buy a practice and you buy the right practice, the sky's the limit on the amount of money you can make. I've talked to dentists that are making more than $5 million a year. Now, obviously, in order to make more than $5 million a year, they have multiple offices and they have associates working for them, and that's not easy. But you can run a single dentist, single location practice and make more than $1 million a year in profit that you're taking home. Your revenue is probably going to be something like $2.5 million, which is a lot. That's a lot to produce as a single dentist, but there are dentists that can do it, and I've seen it multiple times. I actually know five dentists within 10 miles of my house that are making more than $1 million in income and take home income every year. I'm not one of them. I don't want to work that hard, but they exist. So you've decided you want to buy a practice. You've decided you want to buy the right practice, because if you buy just any old dental practice, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be successful. I went through and looked at some of the statistics and I added up out of the practices that clients have brought to me. 85% of the practices that I've reviewed over the last year, I recommended that the client not buy. Only 15% of the practices that I've seen were worth buying. Chances are, if you just buy any old dental practice that you find for sale, that you are not getting a good deal and that you're likely going to be in a worse situation than you were if you just stayed at your associate job. That's the truth. If you buy the wrong practice, it would have been better for you just to stay as an associate, because now you could potentially be making less money, you could be more stressed, and you're locked in to working at this job that you hate. Buying a practice is absolutely worth it. You 100% should become a practice owner as a dentist, but you need to make sure you buy the right practice or you're going to make your life significantly more difficult. So how do you find the right practice to buy? There are two factors that are going to determine the production of an office. Number one is, how much can you produce per patient? And number two is, how many patients are there? Number one is fixed by becoming a better treatment planner, better at case acceptance, learning how to do some additional procedures that add value. This is stuff you can learn on your own. But number two, the number of patients, that's not something that you can just do by reading a book. You have to actually have a practice that patients are going to come and see you, that they're on the hygiene schedule, and you go do the hygiene checks and you find that work. If you buy a practice where you have three patients on the hygiene schedule every day, you only have three opportunities to treatment plan and then convert that into production. If, on the other hand, you buy a practice where you have 30 patients on your hygiene schedule, you're going to have 30 opportunities to treatment plan and convert that to treatment. Which dentist do you think is going to be making more money? The one who has three patients per day on his or her hygiene schedule, or the one who has 30 patients? Now, 30 is a lot. Honestly, you probably don't want to do 30 hygiene checks in a day. If you have 30 hygiene patients, you're probably going to have an associate there, which having an associate at your office can be very profitable. I mean, I would much rather hire an associate to work for me than be an associate working for someone else. It's not uncommon that there'll be two dentists working at the same office. One of them is making more than $1 million a year, and one of them is making less than $300,000 a year. They're doing basically the same amount of treatment. They're seeing the same patients. The difference is one's the owner and one's the associate. Which one do you want to be? So you're trying to buy a practice. What practice do you buy? You buy one that has a lot of patients, ideally close to 2,000, and don't trust the number that the broker gives you for active patients. I have seen so many brokers just lie. They'll just tell you numbers. They just make stuff up. I don't know where they're getting these numbers from. They just come up with numbers. Anything the broker tells you, don't listen to. You're going to have to work with practice brokers. That's part of it. But the brokers just tell you nonsense. Most of them aren't even dentists and they don't even understand how dental practices are run. And they just spit off these numbers and they're just not true. If you are going to buy a dental practice, you need to hire your own advisors to go through and look at the numbers of that practice to verify that what you are actually being told is there is what you're actually buying. Because I have seen some buyers get in huge trouble because the broker said there's 2,000 patients here, but when I actually looked at the production by procedure report and looked what procedures were being done in the previous year, it was clear that there is no way that there were 2,000 active patients because the dentist only did 300 prophys last year. How do you have 2,000 active patients if there were only 300 prophys done? There were only 200 exams. How are there 2,000 patients if you only did 200 exams? That doesn't make any sense. Now, in addition to that, you also want to buy a practice where the seller wasn't overproducing on patients. If you come into an office where the seller was over-treatment planning crowns, over-treatment planning implants, over-treatment planning cosmetic work, you're going to come in and there's not going to be any work to be done. You're going to sit down to see Mrs. Jones and she's going to have these brand new full contour zirconia crowns on 14, 15, 2, 3. All the teeth have crowns on them. She just got these new veneers. She just had Invisalign to straighten her lower anteriors. Or worse, you might end up with a practice where they were doing a whole bunch of endo on teeth that didn't need endo, crowns being done on teeth that it should have just been an occlusal composite. This stuff happens. There are dentists out there that are just trying to make money and they don't care about their patients and they just over-treatment plan. You need to make sure you're not buying a practice like that. You want to buy a practice where the seller was slowing down. The seller was getting tired. The seller said, hey, I'm done with this dentistry thing. I don't even want to see patients anymore. And then you come in, new dentist, energy, treatment planning skills. All of a sudden, this patient who hasn't had a crown done in 15 years, you see them and you say, wow, Miss Jones, it's nice to meet you, but do you know that you are missing a cusp on these teeth and you have this decay here and all these issues and this missing tooth? Let's do an implant there. You find an office like that. You come in and you might be producing $2,000 per patient. If you have 1,000 patients and you can produce $2,000 per patient, well, then you just produce $2 million. If on the other hand, you buy a practice where there's no work left to be done, you're only producing $500 per patient, there's only 500 patients, well, now you just produce $250,000 that year. And then you got to pay back your practice loan. You got to pay your staff. You got to pay rent. You got to pay utilities. You got to pay office supplies. Maybe that's $250,000 right there. You just worked an entire year. You went through all the trouble to buy this practice and you made $0. You might even lose money if you're not careful. That's why you have to buy the right practice. Now, quick side note, there are accountants that will look at these offices for you. I wouldn't trust an accountant for this. You need a dentist. You need someone who actually has experience with offices and knows the production. If you talk to an accountant, accountants are going to look at the numbers. They're not going to look at the actual work that was being done at the office. You could have an office that produced $2 million last year, but still only has 500 active patients. And that's because the seller was doing all sorts of specialty work. Maybe like we were just talking about, they were over-treatment planning on patients. And to an accountant, oh, this is a great practice. It's $2 million in revenue. You're going to come in, you're going to do great. But if you buy a practice where the work that was being done was not legitimate, or if the work, maybe this was just some prosthodontist who was doing all on four cases and crazy things that you don't have the skills to do, or maybe you don't even want to do, someone doing a bunch of endo, whatever that you don't want to replicate, production could go way down. And then you're stuck with the expenses of an extra high practice loan, as well as probably rents higher, probably the staff are being overpaid. Be very careful listening to financial professionals that do not have a dental background. So you found the right practice, you've had it evaluated. The practice costs $1 million. Okay, you don't have $1 million. If you worked a job where you were busy, like I recommended, and you weren't sitting around doing nothing at your first associate job, then you should have some money saved up. The banks, in order to give you a loan to buy a practice, are going to require you to have a certain amount of liquidity saved up, usually something like $50,000 to $100,000, depending on the size of the practice. In addition, if you are going to try to buy the building where that practice is located, when you buy a practice, you're not buying the building. Those are separate things, but you can sometimes buy the practice and the building. And so let's say you want to buy the building. Now, practice loans, you don't necessarily have to have a down payment usually, but you do have to have liquidity saved up. But when you buy the building, you do have to have a down payment most of the time, usually something like 15 to 20%. So if you're buying a building that's $1 million, you're going to have like $150,000 to $200,000 saved up. Now, luckily, if you don't have that saved up, sometimes you can just buy the practice. You can come to an agreement where you lease that building for a certain number of years while you save up the money in order to have that down payment, and then you buy the building. That's an option. But the key is, in order to be ready for financing, you need to save up as much money as you can, which means you shouldn't be buying a new car. You shouldn't be buying a house. You shouldn't be spending money that you don't need to spend your first few years out of school. Let's say you find an associate job where you're busy. You're probably making $300,000. Right off the bat, taxes, a third of that's going to go to taxes. You're left with $200,000. Let's say your living expenses, just to round it off, are $100,000. I think you can do better. I think you can keep it under $100,000 your first year out. But I mean, I don't know where you live. Some places are more expensive. Let's say $100,000. You're saving it. $100,000 went to taxes. $100,000 went to living expenses. You made $300,000. That means you just saved $100,000. If you do this right, You can save up $100,000 your first year out of school. I know because I did it. And this was a number of years ago when I did it. But with inflation, $100,000 isn't as much as it was when I first graduated. Now, I always get questions next about, okay, well, what about student loans? Don't pay off your student loans, at least not yet. When you first graduate from school, you're allowed to defer your student loans for a certain amount of time. Also, if you get onto an income-based repayment plan, oftentimes you're not required to submit your updated income right away. And so you potentially could go a year or 2 years, depending on when the recertification date is, paying income-based repayment on what your income was when you were a student, which is likely going to be low, maybe $0, which means you're going to have a low student loan payment, maybe no student loan payment. Just keep it that way for now. Save up as much money as you can. And then when you have to start paying back your student loans, pay the minimum possible. Once you are an owner and you double your income, you go from making $300,000 a year to making $600,000 a year. Now it's going to be a lot easier to pay off your student loans. So final question, what is the biggest risk that can happen when you buy a dental practice? The biggest risk when you buy a dental practice is that you buy the wrong practice. Practice brokers, lawyers, accountants, bankers, they are all incentivized to have you buy a practice as quickly as possible and for as much money as possible. Accountants, they're only going to get paid once you buy a practice. Lawyers, they're only going to get paid once you buy a practice. Bankers and practice brokers, it's even worse. They're only going to get paid once you buy a practice, and they're going to get paid more if you pay more for that practice, because bankers and brokers are paid a percentage based on commission of the sale price. If you are buying a dental practice and you're getting your advice from a banker, a broker, a lawyer, or a CPA for things other than what they're supposed to be giving you advice on, obviously you can listen to your lawyer for legal advice. You can listen to your CPA for how you should set up your finances to file your taxes, but you should not have them evaluate the practice purchase to determine if it's worth buying. The accountant's gonna say, oh, this is a great practice. How did you find it? How can we close as soon as possible on this so you start paying me? Now, of course, they're not going to say that, but they're thinking it. Without the proper guidance, new buyers often buy poorly performing practices and they overpay for them, and they oftentimes get taken advantage of. Now, my primary business is I help dentists evaluate practices to make sure they buy the right ones. That's what I do full time. But I also get emails from dentists who have already bought practices. And they reach out to me and they say, Chris, I just bought this practice and the seller was doing great. The seller was producing $1 million a year and was keeping $500,000, and I took it over and I don't have enough money to even pay my staff, let alone myself. And I asked them, who did you have evaluate this practice? Oh, my accountant looked at it.
Your accountant looked at it?
That's not your accountant's job. Your accountant's job is not to evaluate a dental practice for you. Your accountant's job is to help you make sure you're paying your taxes properly. It's like asking your plumber to try to fix your cell phone for you. I mean, some plumbers might know a lot about cell phones, but that's not their job. So what separates the dentist who's making $250,000 a year from the dentist who's making $500,000 a year? The roadmap is simple. Number one, get an associate job and make sure that you're really, really busy. Number two, save up as much money as you possibly can while you're at that job. And number three, buy the right dental practice. If you do this now, in 2, 3, 4 years from now, you're going to be so grateful that you did. You're going to be having so much more freedom, so much more control. You're going to be making so much more money. You're going to have so much more respect from your employees, from your patients. If you do this right, there is no going back.